Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Get motivated to heal yourself and your relationships with Kirstine Nussgruber. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Kirstine Nussgruber. Now, Kirstine is a two-time breast cancer survivor and the founder at Eat Holistic LLC, where she teaches cancer warriors, survivors, caregivers, and those wishing to prevent becoming a cancer statistic in the first place. Kirstine is about beyond cancer. She's about nutritional and lifestyle modification. So, Kirstine, welcome to today's show.
Well, thank you, Lynette. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, before we get started, and I want to know exactly what your passion is and where it began for you. But before we do that, do you have a quote or a saying or a passage of any kind that's meaningful to you?
You will laugh because I'm very much about what's the first thing that comes to mind. And the first thing that comes to mind is from the movie Finding Nemo, little Dory, the blue fish, and she keeps on going, "Just keep swimming." Mm-hmm. Do you know that scene?
Of course. I love Dory. And did you know that there's a second movie coming out and Dory is the lead character?
Yes. And I can't wait.
I know. Isn't it crazy? I actually watched the trailer the other day and said, this was exactly what I needed. I just needed an energy lift, a pick me up, and nothing does it better than a Disney movie. I'm sorry, but okay.
I agree with you. And it's two very, very simple words, well, three rather, just keep swimming. But and the way she sings it, it keeps on sticking in my brain. And every now and then it just pops up. And that's exactly what we need to do with whatever happens. Just keep swimming.
Ellen just has that effect overall, but definitely through the character Dory. I think one of my favorite parts of – there are two favorite parts of movies I have. One is when Dory is like, follow me. And then she's swimming all around. She's like – I can't quote the movie, but I just know she's, why are you following me?
Why are you following me? Yes.
Hilarious, hilarious. Yes. And my other favorite part is if you've ever seen Steel Magnolias, the saddest part of the movie is when they're at the funeral. And I mean, I was bawling in the movie theater.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they grabbed Weezer's head, the one character, and she goes, hit Weezer. And I just went from crying hysterically to laughing hysterically. And the scariest sound came out of me that I looked at my husband and I was like, what was that? But I will never forget that moment either. So it's those things that bring so much passion and emotion and feeling to us, which I really think connects well to what you are all about. So can you fill us in about what your passion is?
So my passion is really about educating others, as well as helping them along the way. So I kind of see myself as a guide along the way, along their path, because we're all searching, in a way, searching for what we need to do. Deep down, we know what we need to do. It's clouded. It's shrouded by very often layers of self-doubt and self-defeating thoughts or self-limiting thoughts. It's something within us that can be rekindled. And I see myself as someone to be able to kind of maybe ignite a spark in someone and be that to adjust their lifestyle, adjust their nutritional habits, but also on a mental and emotional level, kind of getting in tune with themselves. And I'm a guide, you know, following someone for a little bit, accompanying someone for a little bit on that path. You know, if I have the honor and the privilege to, you know, to have a client, a personal client, but also educating. I love to speak. I love to share what I have to share to an audience. And by what I mean with educating is just sharing stories and then giving there's a lot of evidence, scientific evidence that shows that all these things that I have done in my life actually lead to someone healing or even lead to someone just accepting where they are in life. And I love to share that and to convey that to people.
So where did this begin for you then?
It started, I guess, way before I was diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time. I mean, I've been dabbling with kind of nutrition for a while. I've been dabbling with spirituality for a while. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. That's my philosophy. And it started when I was young, and it was kind of a situation. You're trying to find yourself. What is my role here? What is disease? What happens? And then I got diagnosed at age 39. And the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, it's kind of, I'm falling into the same pattern, because my mother was actually at that same time undergoing chemotherapy for her breast cancer recurrence. Now, she was in her 60s at the time. Her sister, my aunt, had passed away at age 39 from a breast cancer recurrence way back in the 90s. And I thought, oh, well, here we go. It's my turn. But then something inside of me also said, oh, no, absolutely not. The buck stops here. This is not a pattern repeat. I have a daughter myself. She's not going to have the same fate. And I need to understand this. I need to figure out what is the underlying cause here, because obviously on a genetic level, maybe there is a connection, and we'll follow that road as well. We'll try and do those tests and figure out, you know, do we have these genes? Do we have the susceptibility to get breast cancer? Doesn't mean you're going to get them, even if you have those genetic mutations, right? So of course you do that on a kind of physical level, but there's so much more. You know, you have to on a metaphysical level. So you have your physical body, your structural level, you have to deal with a breast cancer tumor, but what is it trying to tell you? And for me, because I kind of had started on the spiritual path of self-discovery, kind of a message came up for me. And the way I kind of talk about it is like this red blinking light, these neon lights flashing at you going, now, this is the time you have to deal with that. And for me, that at that time was my relationship with my mother, which was complicated. You know, there was a lot of emotional pain involved. That was a pattern repeat, right? These kinds of patterns kept on coming back up, reactions kept on coming back up. And I knew I had to deal with that while she was still around, while she was still alive, okay? And this was my chance. And had I not been diagnosed, I would not have gotten this big hello, now is your time or else, you know, what the hell are you waiting for? It was that kind of message loud and clear as well. So I kind of went on this path of figuring out, well, how do I deal with this? You know, because you still go through the same emotions of raw shock and horror and terror, and you know you have cancer, and you know my daughter was in first grade at the time, and my aunt had passed away from it, right? My aunt died from it, so you're very aware that this you know there's a possible fatality here. It's not just, you know, a bad flu or something.
Kirsten, can I ask you this? You said something really interesting. You said a couple things that, you know, relate to me and how I feel. I've said for a long time that I'm a very spiritual person. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily religious. I don't go to church every mm-hmm. Sunday, but I am a very spiritual person. And I love what you're saying about the fact that these things come into our lives to teach us lessons, which yes. I think is a very, very hard thing for people to see the lesson in tragic situations. And this is tragic. Like you just said, yes. I mean, your mom, aunt, now yourself, and now you're looking down, you have a daughter. But I'm wondering, when you said that you have a complicated relationship with your mother, I'm wondering, you say that you wanted to use this to confront her, discuss with her, heal, whatever it was that you wanted to do with your relationship with her. But do you think that the two of you having cancer at the same time gave you kind of a bond for that to happen more easily?
It's a very interesting point that you make. And let me clarify that. When I mean healing, I don't mean that the two of us could heal face to face, because the relationship was that complicated that would never happen. Okay. So the healing had to occur within me. And I had to do work on myself to be in a different place where the interactions we had and the confrontations we had didn't cause that I had an emotional pain. My heart chakra would be on fire each time we had an incident. It was like as if someone, you know, lit a flame inside of me and I was burning. That it was physical. So the emotional pain had turned physical. And there just was no common ground. We could, on a certain area of us, my mother was a great mother in terms of really looking after me and being there for me when I was young. It was just as I turned adult, our relationship got very complicated on certain levels when it came to certain views and opinions, where she was absolutely convinced that her way was the right way and there was absolutely no compromise allowed. And I mean, she didn't only approach me that way, she approached many other people in her life that way. And there was a huge rift. She didn't come to my wedding. There had been a huge rift. There was lots of hurt there. And I needed to heal that, because that to me was something, you know, she is not going to change. But I needed to be able to get myself to a place where I can kind of still accept her for who she is without the associated physical pain almost that would cause me. So I needed to be able to really forgive her by forgiving me first. And that was a whole journey for me to get to that point where, you know, where when I meet her, when we interact and she still shoots off the hip with the way how she would do it, it didn't affect me anymore. I understood her for where she was at in her life, and that she couldn't really react in a different way. That's her, and that's okay with me. It didn't hurt me. I rose beyond above that.
I think that's where our coaching programs and personal development comes into play, because really all that changed was the way you viewed it.
And it could only change though, because I did some very serious soul searching, and associated with that was, you know, deep, deep emotional release. And there are different modalities we can choose. My modality that worked for me was a style of hypnotherapy that does past life regression. And that allowed me to, you know, really release associated emotions with this particular relationship. So it wasn't just from a conscious point of view that I could change my perspective and perception of the whole situation. That is not enough. You really have to access the subconscious level to release those. It's in a way, it's a stored trauma that needs to escape you, and you can give it permission to do that, but you have to first of all access it, get there, in other words recognize it's there, and then kind of find it and allow yourself to get there, and then you have that release, right? You bring it out, you really bring it out. You can't do that mentally by going, I will now no longer feel that way. It that's not deep enough.
Right. Okay. So two things. First of all, I want to tell everybody that you were actually born in Germany, and the way to pronounce your name is actually Kirstein, because that's bothering me.
And born in Switzerland, not in Germany, but but my parents are German. So it's a long story.
Okay. Yes. And you were just on Skype with your dad, who is in South Africa. So
yes.
There's a lot. And you are in New Jersey, actually.
Yes.
So there's a lot of fabulousness going on. Would you mind sharing with us? I find this whole past life regression so fascinating. Would you mind sharing us what your findings were there?
Sure, absolutely. Basically, what the hypnotherapy is, if you find a really good hypnotherapy coach, it's just a deep, deep, deep relaxation. That's all. Okay, so although it involves what can be referred to as a kind of a hypnosis, it must absolutely not be equated with what we maybe think of when hypnosis is used in an entertainment level, you know, on a stage, and people are made to do things and they have no clue what they're doing. Absolutely not. This is not what I'm talking to. This is a healing modality where you are just put into a very, very deeply relaxed state out of which you can emerge at any time. You are always present. You are always understanding what's going on. You hear background noises, but because you are so deeply relaxed, you don't care, because you know you're in a mode where you actually want to be where you want to be. If you want to stop it, and if you want to kind of get back to your full consciousness again, you can. it's in your power to do that. So you, and you remember everything. You remember what was, what is being said. You remember kind of what comes up. You remember everything afterwards. It's not like you emerge from this experience and you have no clue. And, you know, someone needs to tell you, you said this, you did that or whatever. That is not the case. Okay. So let's make that quite clear. Past life regression is something that kind of happens if you're ready to go there, if you're ready to slip into that. And a very good, if listeners are new to this, a very good place to start is Many, Many Lives, Many Masters, I think, by Brian Weiss is his name, Dr. Brian Weiss. He's an MD. He explains that pretty well there, where you kind of you have to go into that state when you're ready. And I met Dr. Weiss. I went to a holistic conference in New York way back the beginning, 2002 it was, and we had this group hypnotherapy session going on, and you could see some people were already familiar with this because they were lying on the floors, and I just sat in the chair. You know, this was a workshop session in a hotel. I just sat in the chair and wondered, okay, and you know, we just had to kind of close our eyes, and he leads you through like a meditation, like a relaxation meditation. And at that point, you know, you get kind of, the image he used was, you know, when you go down steps and you get deeper, 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 deeper. And for me, my experience at that point, I came to like a door and I couldn't go beyond it. This door would not open for me. But tears started flowing out of me. Now, I was not crying, just tears started flowing. And I remember thinking, I am not crying, but I am releasing and I have no clue where this is coming from. One thing I do know for sure, it is not crying. And that was the key for me to go, wow, that was something. But obviously, I wasn't ready to go any further. And I just left it at that, right? Now, with this diagnosis, I knew, okay, I'm ready. I just knew I'm ready. And I wanted to take this further. So it was very easy for me to then slip into this mode and actually go further this time.
Do you think it's because you were just in such a vulnerable state? You know, when you're faced with your own mortality and how it just, I mean, you just become more vulnerable, more emotional, maybe braver. I don't know. What were you feeling?
I guess braver, but it, like I say, it doesn't come from the conscious mind. Your body speaks to you. You know, cancer, again, your body speaks to you. It's your own body turning against you, right? These were all normal cells. Your own cancer tumor was a normal cell that went AWOL at some point in time, decided, no, I don't want to follow all the rules. I'm doing my own thing here. And, you know, often these things grow for a very long time. Sometimes they're very aggressive and they happen, you know, within a very short period of time. But it's your own body and it's your own body speaking to you. And you've got to listen. You've got to figure out, what is it trying to tell me? Because even if I live in an environment that is toxic, even if I do have the genetic mutations, I do not necessarily have to get cancer. And, you know, that is very well proven. Otherwise, you know, why do you have people that live in highly toxic areas or people that have together gone through hugely traumatic experiences, but not, you know, some might get cancer, but not everyone does. Okay.
I was just thinking about that today. I was actually out, I was driving and I was stopped at a light near somebody's house that I know. And I just thought, wow, how is it that somebody who I know who's in her 30s got breast cancer, yet this gentleman that I know who is, you know, 70s and has been smoking cigarettes without filters for all these years has not? I was just thinking this.
Yeah. And that's really, to a degree, still the mystery of cancer. But it's what is very clear is that you know, it has many layers. There are many sides to this. And you can't point your finger at one thing and go, that's going to lead you to it. I mean, it's kind of cumulative. And it's cumulative for you. And there is always that other side to cancer. There's, of course, the physical side, yes, but there's always there's this emotional, there's this subconscious side to cancer that we need to access and we need to try and figure out what is my body trying to tell me, what game is being played here? What am I supposed to do and learn and release? Okay. To me, that is just as important as deciding, you know, what am I going to do with my tumor? Am I going to do treatments? Am I going to do surgery? You know, what am I going to do? Obviously, you have the tumor and, you know, depending on the level of it, you kind of need to figure out what to do with it. But just not as a sideline, not as an add-on, like, you know, the conventional oncology treats it like it's a good thing to have to me, it should have equal value to when you're dealing with cancer, is this whole other spectrum, this whole emotional healing. It's so important. And how do you emotionally heal? You do not do that with your conscious mind. You have to access the subconscious. And for me, that at that point, to get back to the hypnotherapy, for me at that point was, I'm now ready. I want to experience this. I want to get to the root cause of it. That was really it. I want to get to the root cause of it and see what I can do, see how I can do things differently, because I don't want to follow in the path of the female members of my, you know, my family.
I'm dying to know what happened here.
Well, you know, like I say, it was the hypnotherapy session. I have a very, very dear friend. We actually grew up together, and she is an amazing hypnotherapist and life coach. And she is in South Africa, and she actually flew out. I was in Germany, living in Germany at the time, and she flew out to be with me. And we had a very intense week, which, you know, usually you don't do it like bam, bam, bam like this, but we had a couple, you know, sessions a day. You don't automatically slip into a past life. I mean, you could also just slip into your own life, like a childhood experience, a childhood memory that you're not even consciously aware of was in some way or form traumatic for you. And it comes up and you kind of are able to deal with it on this subconscious, this deep-rooted level. And how, you know, I mentioned before, you know, when I was sitting in that very first session for me, I tears started flowing and I knew I wasn't crying. Emotions come up in you that you cannot put yourself into that state of that emotion just by your mind alone. You cannot sit here consciously and go, I am now going to feel this angry, because the emotions that come up are so intense, they are real. And you can get so angry that you know, a good hypnotherapist then will say, will have a cushion or something, or say, beat this, do it, you know, because you need to let it out, because the emotion is so real. You can shake. You could start to, you know, really like speak in a different voice, like, you know, because, you know, imagine yourself in a particular emotional state, how you would talk like that. You are in that moment. Okay.
So Kirstine, are you saying then that the feelings that interrupted or the feelings that blocked you from having this relationship with your mom stem from what's happened in a past life?
Yes.
Okay. So I need to know.
I slipped into various past lives with her, and this was done, again, I need to really say this, it was done under the expert guidance. You need to have a really good hypnotherapist that knows where to go, why you're going there, and kind of guides you through these experiences. So you always have someone to guide you. And yes, so basically, my mother and I had been together many times before. So there was lots of stuff going on there. The experience has been so magnificent that I can tell you, I mean, I have seen myself die many times. I have seen myself emerge from my body as my spirit. I, to this day now, and it's such a liberating feeling, I am not afraid to die. I just don't want to do it yet, of course. You know, I've got a life to live, and I'm fully rooted in the now, right? But the actual process, I mean, and I'm not saying that the process of dying may not be painful. I'm not saying that, okay, like physically painful, okay? But from a spiritual point of view, I am absolutely not afraid. I know where I'm going to go, and I know what it's like. It's a little bit like people that have had NDEs, you know, near-death experiences, who come back and say, it's this really gorgeous place, and I'm safe there. It's similarly, you know, from that point of view. So you come back to your life, and you have your normal challenges here. You have your normal physical challenges. All of that is still the same, but you have a completely different perspective.
Okay, but tell us, can you give us some details about what roles did you and your mom play in each other's lives, and what could have caused this tension in this life?
Well, it's kind of personal, but basically, you when you have this experience and you slip into a lifetime that is significant. And you kind of go in there with an intention, because you're trying to find a root cause of something. So you're not just sitting there going, let me see where I'm going to go. But you kind of have an intention, let me find out what's going on here with this person or that person. And it will take you to, in my case, and it's a little bit different for each of us. So it's not always the kind of the same pattern. But for me, it was you slip into a particular lifetime And I would get an experience where I can see myself dressed in a certain way. Now, other people will immediately know it was the year so-and-so, like whatever, 1755 or whatever. So some numerical people will come up with that immediately. I never had a number. I could just tell you by looking around me and seeing what I'm wearing, kind of a thing, where I'm at. And you have that feeling, you know, are you in Europe? Are you here? Are you there? Kind more or less kind of the time frame. And then you very often, and for me, the way it came up, you are thrust into a particular situation. And the first thing that comes up is the emotion. Right. So you either very afraid or you're very joyous or whatever. It isn't always a negative emotion, sometimes also positive emotion, but that comes up. And then the hypnotherapist coaches you through that kind of, as if you're in a movie, okay, but you're in it, and then coaches you to try and find out, well, why did you land here, kind of thing? Why, I mean, to use a phrase, why were you beamed to this particular moment, okay? And then you kind of go through that. And the crux here, though, the most important thing is that the emotions come up and then you start talking and it comes out of you. It just comes out of you. You just you feel it. Like you also feel connections. You might be different genders. You're not always a victim. You know, I've had moments too where I was the villain and you have those same emotions, right? It's kind of gone. The first time I had such a session, I came back, I was kind of finished, because you are that person and you have those nasty emotions inside of you, the hate and whatever came up, you know, so you kind of can go through that as well.
Did you let your mom know that you were doing this or no?
You know, she was not open to that at all. So I think she noticed it just because of our interaction. It changed her way of reacting. Didn't trigger anything in me anymore. And I literally, because I freed myself of this, I could just approach her from a point of view of, I love you. It's kind of when you are not emotionally involved in a relationship, right? And you see an emotional reaction going on, but because you are not emotionally involved, it doesn't affect you, and you can stay neutral. You can kind of stay in the moment, but neutral. And that's how I became towards us. So if she would have her tantrum, her thing going on, and her little nasty comments or whatever it was, I understood where they were coming from. They were coming from her own insecurities, and they didn't affect me anymore, because of course, this is your mother. If she says something like that, it affects you, right? It hurts you. It emotionally hurts you. But I had gotten rid of that. So when she had those things, I could just really respond completely calmly. And that took the wind out of the sails for her. Okay. And so our relationship changed a little bit, but I mean, we didn't see each other that much because we didn't live on the same continents. We really had one intense moment after this when, she visited and stayed with us for 3 weeks, and I could really test and see, were my buttons being pushed, or had I really done my work thoroughly? And I had done my work thoroughly. So it was gone. I was absolutely okay. It did not have that same gut-wrenching, heart chakra-burning feeling. And I mean, you know, my mother's my mother.
Well, and I've had this conversation on the show before, where if you emotionally detach from situations, and if you face anger with love, just like you're saying,
yes,
and you stay calm,
yes,
then people can't fight with love.
No. No.
You know, people can't fight with love. People can't fight with calmness because you're not shooting any ammunition. You're not giving any ammunition.
Correct. And I mean, we do. If we, you know, when we are in these kinds of conflicting relationships, we invariably do. You know, we get revved up and we shoot back. And again, mentally, especially in very personal relationships, if it's with your own children or your parents or your partner, you know, these are very intense emotional relationships, you, from just purely a mental point of view, you cannot get yourself to that state where you go, oh, I'm all cool with it. And you really, really tune into yourself. You know, are you really cool with it? Or is it hurting somewhere and you're just kind of denying it? You really have to be very, very honest. And I had that for a couple of years before my cancer diagnosis. I thought I had dealt with it. And then something would happen. And I mean, what would happen? It would just be a comment very often or something, because you know how these relationships go. You kind of, it, it, touches on all kinds of things. You know, you're not feeling, maybe not feeling validated, maybe not feeling loved, maybe not feeling respected, you know, whatever. You know, these things just come up out of nowhere and you can't help yourself, but you feel hurt. You feel that pain.
Is your mom still with us?
No, she passed away.
How many years after all of that?
A year later, she passed away. So it was time. And it was time for me to deal with that. And that kind of was the urgency for me. And I kind of got that. And that's why, I mean, it may sound a bit corny or cliched, but I'm really thankful for that first breast cancer, because I would not have engaged upon this journey of discovery and healing, personal healing on my side. And it healed our relationship. And I'll tell you this, because it's kind of wacky, but so when she passed, now she had just visited us, right, for 3 weeks. They live in South Africa. They were here for 3 weeks, and it was she wasn't all that well. She had some, you know, brain issues as well. And I kind of knew this was the last time we would really see each other, but I did not expect that basically 5 days after they returned, she had an aneurysm and she, you know, she ended up in a coma, and, you know, my father decided to pull the plug and following her wishes, because she did not want to be kept alive for any length of time. So he honored her wishes there. I didn't expect that to happen 5 days after she was here for 3 weeks. So that was very raw. It was very, very raw. Again, she was back in South Africa. I was here in the United States, and I couldn't get there in time. And I mean, I didn't sleep. And so what I did, and she was, you know, in coma for a few days, and I had to then book a flight. I couldn't sleep. So I sat up half the night and I just meditated. And I just, all I did was just think of her. And I just kind of conjured up and I said, you know, it's okay. I just felt whatever came up, I felt like saying, you know, we're good. You can, if you want to go, if you want to be released, you can go. Don't wait. I will come. I'll take care of Dad. But, you know, because I'm an only child, don't wait for me. And she actually passed while I was flying. So when I landed in South Africa, because it's about a 16-hour flight, a direct flight. So when I landed, you know, my dad was there and a very dear friend of us was there. And he, you know, they kind of told me. I expected it. It wasn't news to me. But coming back, I had sent out there in the universe. I said, you know, Mom, show yourself. Come on. You know, I want to connect with you now. And when you're in this kind of state. And the weirdest thing or the coolest thing happened is we were sleeping, my husband and I. Was one of the first or two nights that I was back here in the United States. And actually, my husband woke up first. He woke up just before me. And I woke up afterwards. He's like, what was that? And there was like an energy going through our bedroom. The light came on. We have a sliding bathroom door. It wobbled, okay? And there was no breeze. There was no windows open, nothing. There were no breezes going on. It came to me, it was her, because when she was alive, when I was living at home, if she needed to go up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, she wouldn't respect the fact that it's the middle of the night. She would get up. She would switch on the lights everywhere. She would bang the doors, you know, like you do during the day. But when at nighttime, when everyone's sleeping, you don't close a bathroom door with the same force. You do that very silently. Well, she didn't do that. She always made sure that everyone woke up. And if we said something to her, she was like, oh, just go back to sleep. Stop being so dramatic. Okay. That was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was like you showed yourself in a way where I would know this thing that we kind of felt, and we had no clue what the hell was this, some energy. This was you, right? And it was as clear as light to me. This was her, and it was like, it was immensely peaceful. And the really cool thing is I didn't just feel it by myself, so that next morning I go, did I dream that? It was Klaus, my husband, actually felt it the same way. And he goes, no, it was real. It was nice. It was nice full circle.
If it's okay with you, I would like to end this episode being part one. I'd like to pick up tomorrow for part two, because I think you gave us a really great window into how and why it is you became somebody who coaches people on nutrition and lifestyle. So if that's okay with you, I'd like to start episode number two tomorrow.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. I'd love to be on episode 2.